This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day, whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Friday, January 27th, 2017. I am your host, The Judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. A beautiful, delicious 10-game slate on Friday, so lots to get to on the show. And I'm getting a late start. It's currently 4:06 a.m. in the morning, or super late at night on Thursday night, or early Friday morning, however you want to look at it. So hopefully this will not be an hour-and-a-half show. It's 10 games. I'm trying to get through it as quick as I can. But so much to talk about, as always, as you guys know. Thursday was a little four-game slate, but it was a lot of fun. Judge was able to make a couple $100s, so that's always a good sign. And any day you make money in DFS is a good night. Hopefully you were able to make some money as well. Oh, the key to success on Thursday was just avoiding the mad scientist, the crazy lunatic jerk of Rick Carlisle. And if you're able to do that in a somewhat okay manner, you probably made some money. And if you fell for some of his tricks, you may have lost some. He's such a heap, man. That guy, unbelievable. We'll get to him. We'll get to him once we talk about Dream Killers. Do not worry. Before we start the show, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. If the judge can be doing podcasts at 4 a.m. for you, the least you can do, right, is rate, review, and subscribe. Also, when I tweet out the show via the Twitter universe, you can retweet instead of one of these quote unquote likes that, you know, I understand why we all do lots of likes. How about an RT for your good old pal, the judge? Let's expand the listener base. Remember, the better the show does, the more shows you will get. This week we've had shows every day this week, and just some days that's not possible. But if we can expand and get more listeners, that helps with all kinds of things, including sponsors. More sponsors, it's good for me, but it's also really good for you, because if you like the show, it means more shows. And you get your fix. You don't have to listen to all the other boring shows out there that just look at box scores. You get the entertaining judge, right? Somewhat entertaining, I hope. Anyway, so please do that. Please rate, review, subscribe, and also retweet. Also, download the app Draft, and when you do, use the promo code DFB. That's DFBPOD. Remember, when you download it, if you cannot find out where to put the promo code, let me know. On Twitter, at DanielAGreen1, or go to the website, dgcourtroomdfs.com, and we will get you rectified. Just remember to let me know what your username on Draft is. Currently on Draft, we have a 7-day battle to the death bracket challenge. We're currently into the final four, which takes place on Friday. So if you're in the final four, I know three of you. I don't know who the fourth person is. So let me know who that is. I wanted to keep track and let me know. I want to find out who's playing Draft. If you guys like it, I love feedback regarding anything, regarding the show, regarding Draft. Feedback's always good. And I definitely want to know if you made the final four for Draft so I can give you a proper shout out on the show. So, yeah. And then we'll hopefully get a new bracket challenge up in the next couple days. I have to speak to the lovely people at Draft in the next day or so. And when that happens, I will let you know. Also on Friday is a glorious day for all of us because we going to get an update to the power rankings on both FanDuel and then on DraftKings. It's going to be the inaugural power rankings. Also, we will do the best of the best tournaments in Chambers on Friday. So basically the best people, the top of the people who in the power rankings on both DraftKings and FanDuel will get a special invitation from the judge regarding a special tournament that takes place on Friday. I think, and it's going to be 20 spots in both FanDuel, well, it's always 20 spots in FanDuel, and it's going to be 20 spots in DraftKings. And I took a little poll on Twitter, and I think I'm going to do a $5 entry fee instead of the normal $2. I think that's what I'm going to do, although I still may change my mind and go back to $2. But look for the best of the best tournament that will take place, and also look for the power rankings sent out. As always, I will tweet that out when that is ready. The power rankings probably won't be ready until later in the day, maybe even early evening. But the invitations for the best of the best will probably go out, mid-afternoon probably. Speaking of Chambers, which is basically a tournament that we run, which contains all of the best players in DFS in the land, except the ones that the few pros who are a little too scared because they sit in the basement of their home, putting in 150 lineups in every tournament. Then they create another account and put another 150 lineups. They're basically putting in 400-450 lineups in every GPP and scamming the DFS system and making it not fun for the rest of us. So currently the judge is trying to figure out ways to get around that. But that's why, like, on slates like today, I was very disappointed. It was a 4-game slate. And if you saw me tweeting about this around, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Eastern, when I was looking at which tournaments to play, the number of entries in some of the tournaments, it was just outlandish. I mean, I think the Slam on FanDuel, which is a $25 entry fee, which used to be one of my favorite tournaments to play, it was like 9,000 people. And on a 4-game slate, that's absurd. I mean, the pros are basically going to have every possible lineup combination in there against our, 1-2 lineups. It's just it's ridiculous. It should have been about 2,000 maximum for a tournament like that. And DraftKings was no better. DraftKings was running. I mean, their version of the Slam, the crossover, which I think is $27, had over 9,000 people as well. And tournaments like that, the multi-entry tournaments like that, especially on days where there's only a 4-game slate. It just, the regular players at such a disadvantage, and that's why on days like today, attack the single entry tournaments. You can play the large tournaments if you want. I think you need to know going into it though how much the deck is stacked against you, especially on the small slates. If you're going to enter a tournament like that, it really is unfair, and I'm really truly disappointed in the greedy FanDuel and DraftKings for putting up contests like that. I mean, on DraftKings, there was a contest with, maybe there was on FanDuel too, but I saw it on DraftKings with 147,000 people. How do you get a tournament with 147,000 people on a 4-game slate? It's just ludicrous. These greedy SOBs. I mean, this is part of the problem why we had all the problems initially last year that led to all the all the regulators and the politicians getting involved in the DFS and ruining this for a lot of us anyway, and making it, especially for the judge, making it basically illegal in New York for a year. It's just, greed. What greed does to people is pretty amazing. But I digress. There are still ways to make money on small slates. You just got to be wise about it. The judge, I didn't touch a single multi-entry tournament. I played every single entry tournament there was out there, and I was able to make a few hundred bucks. So there's still ways to make money. You got to be creative and be constantly thinking about the slate, about the contest you're entering, putting yourself in the best position to cash. And that's why the judge is here, to help you guide through those decision-making skills. It's also a big thing what we do in the consultations. All right. So Chambers winners, though, for Thursday. The judge, I thought it was going to take down them all again. Did not happen. You guys are getting very good in Chambers. So congrats to Terry Tang, Terry_Tang. I hope that's how you pronounce it. His first win of the year, his second cash, I think it was. Super Buck Wild. His second win of the year, but he's always lurking in the leader top of the leaderboard. And C. Tonvin got his third win of the year. So congrats to you guys. On DraftKings, I did a little sneaky ninja maneuver. Some of you didn't even notice on DraftKings. I basically did a winner take all tournament on Thursday. So I think the winner got like $90 or something like that. And EDoom06 took it down. So congrats to you for DK Chambers Glory. Also, Tub Screamer took second, and What Up Doe 88 took third. What Up Doe 88, I think he's the early leader in number of cashes in DraftKings. I think he's cashed already three times. I think three out of ten days or something like that. Pretty impressive rate. Dream Killers. Well, you guys probably know where I'm going with this one to start off with, right? It's pretty easy, and that's the evil genius, Rick Carlisle. He thinks he's smarter than all of us. He thinks he's smarter than every other coach in the NBA. I'm pretty sure he thinks he deserves like a Nobel Peace Prize. He probably thinks he should be working at NASA. I mean, the guy, I don't know why I said NASA. I mean, like Nassau County. That's like where I live in New York, or close to me. I mean, NASA. Weird things happen when you do a podcast at 4 in the morning, especially when it comes to pronunciation. See, there you go. But Rick Carlisle, the dude is just – it's just super annoying to have someone who thinks he's that smart. He truly believes that every Dallas win is because of him. He genuinely believes it. And what he does with his rotation is pretty amazing to watch and pretty disgusting, quite honestly, some days. So if you're watching, and I was tweeting about this all day. So that's why for me, I played Harrison Barnes and Seth Curry almost everywhere. And for the most part, I don't think I played maybe a tiny bit of Powell, a little Anderson, but I knew going into it, those guys, you know, another reason why it was only GPPs only for me, the single entry ones only, that is, because Rick Carlisle was just too crazy to have on this 4-game slate. But I mean, what he did with Powell was sickening, and he's done this before this year. Like it was about a month ago. I think I was in top 10 in I was in the glory hunt to take down a big single entry tournament, and I had Powell in the lineup, and Powell was just smashing through the first three quarters. He had like over 25 FanDuel points, and still not a lot of minutes. And then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, what does Rick Carlisle do on this day in November, whatever it was? He inserted for the first time in the game, in a close game, Salah Mejri out of nowhere for no reason. And then Mejri played the entire fourth quarter. And Powell, who was on fire, didn't play a second in the fourth quarter. And I was like, that's freaking amazing. That's bizarre and that's just soul-crushing. And he basically pulled the same thing tonight, except in reverse. So he benched Powell on a night when Dirk was out, Wes Matthews was out, Darren Williams was out. He was playing some dude named Cabbage Patch or whatever the hell, the Sasquatch. I don't remember what the hell this guy's name was. I'm pretty sure there were people basically took people in the stands and was playing them. I've never heard of some of these guys that he was playing that stepped foot on the court. And Pierre Jackson got hurt for Dallas, so then he keeps playing even weird guys that I've never heard of. But anyway, he benched Powell for the first three quarters, played him 2 minutes, and then he inserted him in the fourth quarter and in a close game and played Powell the entire fourth quarter. And Powell does what he always does. He's really good. He honestly might be their second most talented player next to Harrison Barnes. He's really good. And so Powell put up, 12 FanDuel points in the fourth quarter, and he could have had more. He missed a couple wide open threes. So he could have had close to like 20 FanDuel points. So he gave us 12, which honestly on this night ended up being okay because you had bums like Darrell Arthur put up 10 FanDuel points. Derek Favors, he stinks, only gave us like 18. So at Powell's price, giving us 12, he actually, I think my best scoring lineup actually had Powell in it with his nasty 12 FanDuel points. So Rick Carlisle, dream killer, soul crusher, just quite honestly a jerk. It's just, I don't know why he does it. Like, play your best players, dude. You know? Play your best players. How about that strategy? And that goes for all coaches. Why not that? That's a novel concept. Anyway, Enes Kanter, he could be a soul crusher as well if the crazy Rick Carlisle wasn't on this slate. Because Kanter, going to a timeout, punches a chair and breaks his forearm. And it, just bizarre. I didn't see it live. I had to go back and watch it. And like, it was just all of you should go YouTube it. It's a pretty amazing to watch. He was pretty frustrated. I mean, this reminds me of, I don't know who the guy in the NFL was who it was a quarterback. I think it was a quarterback for the Redskins. I don't remember who it was, who basically, I think he was trying to celebrate a touchdown and banged his head against like the padding in the end zone and then got a concussion. And I think he maybe sprained his neck and was out for a couple of weeks. It reminded me of that. But this is even worse because I think he broke his forearm. He's out like 2 months. So unbelievably stupid. Now, he doesn't seem like a smart guy to begin with. But that's unbelievable. Not to mention in real life, that's a big loss for OKC. He may be like – he could win sixth man of the year or not before this injury he might have. So just an unbelievably stupid move by Kanter. Wow. And that could really – and OKC's battling for a playoff spot too. So, I mean, I think in real life – or I mean DFS too, this is going to help like guys like Oladipo. And now in like the second unit, I think Oladipo is going to jack up a ton of shots. And maybe some guys like Sabonis would get some more run, I guess. But – what a moronic move by him. Pierre Jackson, if you tried to play Russian roulette with the Dallas point guards, even when Jackson went out with an injury, it's not like Devin Harris got a lot of minutes. Devin Harris only played 20 minutes. Carlisle just moved Seth Curry over to the point guard. So Devin Harris was kind of a dream killer too, even though he gave you like 18 FanDuel points at his salary. That was okay. But on this slate, it wasn't good enough because Jameer Nelson went nuts at basically the same salary. Darrell Arthur, man, I got so many tweets about Darrell Arthur. You guys love Darrell Arthur. I mean, it's like sometimes I'm always amazed. On like 10-game slates, like on Friday, you guys always come up with some pretty interesting questions on guys who play for, like, the backup power forward. You know, Arthur was coming off a good game, and it was a legitimate question on a 4-game slate. I'm just not a fan of his game, you know. And Mike Malone, compared to Rick Carlisle, Mike Malone's very sane, but Mike Malone can do some crazy things with minutes at power forward as well. So I wasn't a fan of Arthur. I didn't play him anymore. He ended up with like 10 FanDuel points, and he did what Darrell Arthur can basically do, and that's just vanish in games. Gary Harris, he's super frustrating to own because he's talented. He gets minutes, and he just doesn't do much with them. A lot of that for Denver is just they have other guys who can score, and especially when Jokic is just the best player on the planet, it's just he doesn't do much. He's like a not a poor man's version of Courtney Lee, because that would not even exist. A strong man's version of Courtney Lee. It just stinks too, because he's super talented and he's super athletic. He's good defensively too. He's a good player in real life, but it's not some days it just doesn't translate to DFS. So he killed me tonight with only like 13 FanDuel points. Andrew Wiggins and Booker I have down here just because that, you know, they did okay, but they're too, like, if this was a 10 game slate like it is on Friday, they probably would have hurt you a lot more than they did on Thursday, because at their prices, which are over 7K as one trick ponies, they got to get you like 30 actual points. And most nights they're just not going to do that. Derek Favors. Enough said. I mean, are you healthy, dude? I don't ever want to roster him again. I had a lot of him, and it worked out because every other, you know, cheap power forward sucked on this slate too. But against the Lakers, he can't even take advantage of that. 18 FanDuel points. He had 9 FanDuel points in the first like 3 minutes of the game, but just so disappointing in him for the whole year. Tyson Chandler. I think I've told you on numerous podcasts now, he's not a very good basketball player. He's not good defensively. Jokic owned him. And he sucked offensively and defensively. I mean, he's been good offensively this year at just getting some lob. And because Phoenix plays at such a fast pace, he gets so many, you know, there's so many extra shots going up. He gets so many cheap rebounds and easy buckets. So he's been putting up decent, you know, decent numbers, but he's just not that good. So he was a dream killer. And now he's like 6.6K, just a crazy price as well. And you know what? I'm putting Karl Anthony Towns again for a dream killer for what he did to me on Monday night. Because if you watch Denver play Phoenix, they tried to put PJ Tucker on Jokic on Wednesday, like they tried to put PJ Tucker on Towns on Monday, completely shut down Towns on Monday. I mean, if you go to my Twitter timeline, you can see I posted a video basically what happened whenever they tried to put PJ Tucker on Jokic. It was very simple. You post Jokic up because he's got about 8 inches. He's 8 inches taller. You lob it in. Jokic turns around and gets a layup. And that's all Towns had to do as well. If Minnesota would have been a little bit patient and just let Towns get the ball, throw it high, let him turn around and dunk the ball, it could have been the exact same thing on Monday. But because they're so scared, they hit Towns in a corner for 18 minutes. And watching Jokic destroy PJ Tucker, destroy anyone who tried to guard him, it was just reiterated the fact that what Minnesota did on Monday with Towns made zero sense. I mean, to be that afraid of PJ Tucker, get out of here. That's disgusting. Dream killer. All right, dream lovers. How about the judge mixes it up on you? The Young Pope, a little TV for you. I'm telling you, man, the Young Pope on HBO. Someone told me about this show. I'm like, I don't want to watch a show about a Pope. Then I watched it a couple days ago, and I'm like, you know what? This is pretty interesting. Like, what happens in Vatican City? I have always wondered. I'm not religious, so I don't really care about that aspect of it. And I'm not a big Jude Law fan either. But very interesting show. It's a little sneaky ninja show. A dream lover for the young Pope. All right, Jokic. Man, he's so good. It's unbelievable how skilled he is offensively. He has touch. He can do anything on the basketball court. And he just abused Phoenix tonight. The sad news is, like, late in the game, with like a minute to go, he put up, he outscored Westbrook. He had like over 60 FanDuel points, but like a minute to go, and I put a video up of this on Twitter as well. Gary Harris, actually, the one good thing he did, he had a really good block on Devin Booker, and I wasn't sure. I think it looked like Booker kind of banged into Jokic, and Jokic went down in a lot of pain. I wasn't sure if it was an ankle or what it was. Turns out it looks like it was a hip injury. He left the game. I think he did an X-ray that turned out negative. He's getting an MRI on Friday. Hopefully, it's nothing bad. because he's been playing so well. If that turned out to be anything serious, that would be devastating. Because man, he has been great. He's legit been top five player in the NBA the last couple weeks. Westbrook dream lover. You know, on a 4-game slate, what I said yesterday, it's just not the day to fade Westbrook. If he played amazing, still didn't even hit value because that's how expensive he is. But you just couldn't afford to fade him on this slate. Jameer Nelson, you just stayed away from Rick Carlisle's point guards. Played Jameer Nelson, you probably ended up the night making some money. Jameer, he was excellent. He was better he was much better than I thought. Ended up with like 35 FanDuel points, and he was just tremendous. Brandon Knight, I wasn't sure if Bledsoe got an early foul trouble or what happened to give Knight some more minutes. But whenever Knight gets more minutes, whenever Knight plays well, he gets more minutes. He started in the first half. He was playing pretty well, so he got extra minutes. He got like 24 FanDuel points, which basically was like double Gary Harris. So he was a dream lover. He was like the key. He was the difference between probably me making 300 and 3,000. It was, I mean, because the scoring, you know, 10 points on a 4-game slate, that was a massive difference in terms of a dollar amount. Justin Anderson, Carlisle gave him about 24 minutes and he was good. He took advantage of it. Finney, Linney, Crinney, Shinny, Minnie, Smith. I don't know why Carlisle loves him. He had over 40 minutes. He's a poor man's Otto Porter. No usage rate. Pretty athletic. Okay defensively. But he's in Carlisle hates Powell because, I don't know, maybe Powell must have done something. And he loves Finney Smith. So Finney Smith got to be a dream lover. Jeff Teague was great for Indiana. So was Paul George. Harrison Barnes, he was excellent. Got all the extra usage, all the shots in the world. And I'll put Karl Anthony Towns on here. He was a dream lover for his performance on Wednesday. He was back to the Towns that we expect. There was no PJ Tucker, so he was fine. And I don't know if I mentioned, did I mention Seth Curry or not? Because he's a dream killer. He sucked. He was horrible on Thursday. He should have went nuts given the fact that all the extra usage. And then especially when Jackson went out, he even got more shots and more usage and more minutes. He didn't shoot well. What did he give us? Was it like 16 FanDuel points, something like that? Yeah, just not a good performance by him. I expected a much, much better night from him. All right. Injury news for Friday. Caspi, calf injury. What happened to Caspi? God, he sucked all year long, even when he's played. Ronnie Stuckey dealing with a hamstring. The biggest one is probably DeMar DeRozan again. It's DeMar and probably Kawhi Leonard. So DeMar is questionable with this ankle. If he's out, fire up Kyle Lowry, fire up Powell. Terrence Ross is a nice GPP play. I really do hope he's out. Jeremy Lamb, still questionable with that foot. Cody Zeller, still questionable with the quad contusion. Evan Fournier, still got this right foot. Looks like he's doubtful. DJ Augustine, questionable with the sprained ankle. If Augustine and Fournier are both out, I don't care. Alfred Payton killed us last time out. He's still a really good tournament play. He's got 40, 50 FanDuel point upside. I'll play him. Okafor, right knee soreness. He stinks. I hope he sits. Embiid looks like he's going to be out with a knee as well. So Nerlens Noel again on Friday. Just almost lock and load. I'm excited to see what his price is. I don't even know yet. So I will learn when you guys learn, when we go through the plays. Eric Gordon dealing with back tightness. He's questionable. Whiteside, an ankle injury. He's questionable. So I would imagine he'd be out. He's been dreadful lately. So let's let him heal if you're Miami. Then I guess Showtime, Willie Reed's back in play. Maybe James Johnson can finally have a good game. Tyler Johnson from Miami is also going to be out. Anthony Davis is going to play. What quarter will he go in the locker room and get injured this time? My guess would be third quarter again. God, just retire. It's going to be so frustrating. Watch. You know he's going to put up like a 70 FanDuel point night soon. Kawhi Leonard got a hand issue. He's questionable. Jonathan Simmons is out with a wrist. So if Kawhi is out, Anderson, it's going to be an excellent play. Tony Parker is back, so I guess Murray's not going to be a good play anymore. Not that he was a good play anyway. And then Mo Harkless has a calf injury. He's questionable. All right, let's take a quick little trip to Vegas. So 10 games, there's four overrunners that are not up yet because of the injury news, like Kawhi, like DeMar DeRozan that I just mentioned. Of the games that are up, you got Brooklyn at Cleveland. Cleveland's played just horribly lately. I don't know, what have they lost, 6 of 8 now? LeBron's whining like a little baby. So they're favored by 15. They should destroy Brooklyn. Brooklyn stinks. Brooklyn ends up somehow making every game close, though. And then they typically get blown out in the fourth quarter. So, you know, you can approach this in a couple different ways. One, just fade the game or just pretend it's going to be close. And then everyone from Cleveland's in play in an elite spot. 226 over-unders, it's a pretty big number. Charlotte at the Knicks, that's a fantasy gold mine, I think. Over-under is 212. Not great, but I think, you know, for that game, we basically know who's going to get most of the minutes. So we can attack that game. Sacramento, Indiana, 212 over-under. That's a high over-under for Sacramento. So that game's fine. One of my favorite games is Washington, Atlanta. We especially know who gets the minutes for Washington, and even Atlanta for the most part. So that's a nice game to stack and watch in real life. Memphis, Portland, 207 over-under. Man, a lot of these Memphis and Utah games have had decent over-unders lately. That's Memphis has been playing a little bit faster pace. That's a little surprising. I would think the over-under would be a little lower than that. That's a pretty big number for that game. By Portland's not Phoenix or Denver or Brooklyn. And then you got Miami, Chicago, which normally wouldn't be a big game, but now, given what's going on with the Bulls, and I could have included Rondo and Wade and Butler as dream killers, you know, with just Wade and Butler going nuts after Chicago lost to Atlanta a couple nights ago, saying that the young Bulls don't care and they're not playing hard. And then Rondo coming out on Instagram and basically saying that he basically called out Wade and Butler especially and said their leaders are horrendous for the Bulls, and like his old Boston veterans never would have done that. So now this game's pretty interesting, man. In real life it is. Maybe it's more interesting in real life than it is in DFS. But then especially if guys like Whiteside are out, you also have guys, really cheap guys, who are going to be in play for Miami. So remember, on a 10-game slate, you got to find ways to narrow the playing field. But there's guys from Miami, Chicago that I want to attack, I think, and use. You know, maybe a game like San Antonio, New Orleans I avoid, or a game like it's weird, man. Every game is pretty enticing. So I'm quite honestly, I'm still figuring out how to narrow down the player pool. And also when I look at pace, there's really no teams I want to attack playing up in pace. I mean, you got Cleveland a little bit and Philly a little bit. And that's why some of these overruns were a little confusing to me, because Memphis is playing up in pace a little bit, but not enough for a 207 over-under. So some of these lines are a little weird. So Friday could be a really wacky day, man. And always on 10-game slates, it's always going to be a real high-scoring night for the most part, because there's no such thing as a chalk play. So there's obviously going to be guys that go nuts on a 10-game slate. It's just going to happen. So it's going to be a pretty high cash line, especially in tournaments. All right, let's move on to the plays. So you got no Westbrook, but you got stars besides that. You got Harden, you got LeBron, you got Cousins, you got Giannis, you got Anthony Davis. The one good thing about Anthony Davis, this is the cheapest he's been in, 2 years? He's 10.3K. So now they are playing the Spurs, who are, I think, might give up the fewest FanDuel points to power forwards. They defend power forward really well. But it's a really good tournament spot for Anthony Davis. And he's now we're getting him at a bargain price, because if he was healthy, he would still be over 11K. Then you got John Wall. You got Kawhi if he plays. Butler. Isaiah Thomas is way up at 9.8K. That's freaking expensive. So you still got lots of good players, obviously, in play on this 10-game slate. All right, so point guard, the most expensive guy is John Wall. He was 10.7K on Wednesday. Now he's 10.2K, so it came down a little bit, which is good. Facing Atlanta, Dennis Schroeder, as you probably heard me say before, is maybe the worst point guard I've ever seen defensively. Not ever, but this year. He's just atrocious. That's why he got benched about a week ago for a couple games. They gave up the third most FanDuel points to point guards. 10.2 is freaking expensive for John Wall, especially on a 10-game slate, especially when point guard is loaded like it always is. So, I just don't know where I'm going to do it yet. He is safe for all formats. I'll say that. And I think his floor is like 40, you know, somewhere around there. He's got a ceiling probably of like 60. So he's safe for all formats. As always, the question is, do you have the money to do it? Do I think you need to do it? No, I don't think you do. But if he ends up making it, you know, and if you want a nice safe play in your cash games, go ahead and lock it in. I mean, the more I think about it, I mean, Schroeder's so bad defensively. And Wall, I mean, the usage rate's 34.5%. Him and Isaiah Thomas are basically really close in usage rate. So, and I do prefer Wall to Isaiah Thomas on this slate, in part based on matchup and pace. So, yeah, so Wall's fine. Next up, Isaiah Thomas, 9.8K. Like I said, I prefer Wall over Isaiah on this slate just because Isaiah is playing Orlando. Orlando plays really slow. Isaiah has been the one dictating pace, though, I'll say that. So I this game should be okay pace-wise, but also Dennis Schroeder defense, that might be the tiebreaker to make me want to play Wall. Isaiah, though, you can't go wrong playing him either. If you wanted to use both those guys in cash, you could easily do it if you want to spend up a point guard. Also, if you want to do it in tournament, play both those guys, you could. If you want to just play Isaiah Thomas, obviously, it's a fine play. The guy's been amazing. I mean, he's had over 20 actual points in what, 20 straight games? It's something crazy like that. I mean, the last game out, 57 FanDuel points against Houston. He's been over 40 FanDuel points like 5, 6, 7 straight games. So, I mean, him and John Wall are both just really good plays. I just prefer Wall slightly, or, you know, if I had to choose. Kyle Lowry, 8.6K. If DeMar is out, if you want to save a little bit, if DeMar's out, I think Lowry's safe for cash too. And he's, a nice 1,600 savings from Wall and 1,200 savings from Isaiah Thomas. If DeMar is in, then do I probably want to play Lowry in cash in a slowdown game against Milwaukee? Maybe not. Even though Lowry's always safe, Lowry's so good. He's so efficient. And the one thing that I've noticed is since DeMar has been out, the usage rate for Lowry goes up, 7, 8 percentage points? So it's tremendous. But last game against Memphis, he put up 50 FanDuel points against Memphis, which is phenomenal. Against San Antonio, he put up only 36. And the assists worried me a little bit, only 2. So if DeMar's back, I think his assists will go up a little bit. But the usage does go down. But he's fine. If DeMar is out, I could easily envision Lowry making a cash game lineup for me. Kyrie Irving, it depends how you want to approach this Brooklyn-Cleveland game. And I'm still, quite honestly, not sure how I want to approach it. Irving's not cheap. He's 8.4K. He's going to abuse Brooklyn. I mean, they have no one to defend him whatsoever when he plays. So, fine. I probably will not use him in cash games, but that's at 4:38 in the morning. By the time lineup lock hits, can I switch, change my mind? Maybe. But for like tournaments and something, absolutely. If that game stays close, man, he'd give you 50, 60 FanDuel points. Jrue Dench-Lillard, 8.2K. Man, he really let me down yesterday against the Lakers, or 2 days ago, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. He's been in the 30s in FanDuel points, 5 straight games. Is he due to break out? Yeah. Is he still really cheap for him? Yeah. But now he's facing Memphis in a slowdown game. I prefer Irving over him. I prefer Lowry over him. I prefer Thomas and Wall over him. And I prefer the guys cheaper. I prefer Kemba over him. I like Dragic over him. So, yeah, if you want to do it in a tournament, I get it. But cash games, I would have no way on this slate. Kemba Walker, 7.9K. So Kemba got named an all-star. Congrats, Kemba. Fine. He's kind of annoyed me this year. He's actually lost me money. I played him. He was a consistency monster for me last year. I played him a ton in cash. This year, he hasn't been the best cash game player. But he's still fine. That's a fair price. He's going against Derrick Rose and the Knicks, who don't play any defense. I have no issue with that play. He's fine all formats, too. Mike Conley, 7.4K. Memphis at Portland. Portland stinks because they don't play defense. And especially, they don't play defense at point guard and shooting guard. Like, Lillard and McCollum are probably the worst defensive backcourt in the NBA. I mean, that or Atlanta or Denver. And I think Denver with Gary Harris, they're okay now. And I think since Atlanta traded away Korver, Atlanta's not horrible at the shooting guard position defensively. So, yeah, I really do think Portland may have the worst defensive backcourt in the NBA. Conley has been disappointing the last 2 games, 23-28. So you probably don't want to do it in cash. But he's a sneaky ninja tournament play. He could light up Portland with Memphis playing up in pace. He could get 40 FanDuel points on this slate. Jeff Teague, 7.2K. Sacramento is really bad at point guard. They give up, where is it? can't find it where it is, but I think they give up. Oh, it's going to annoy me. All right, now I have to find it. Where is it? Where are you? Defensive versus position. My too many Excel spreadsheets, too much information, too much data, 10-game slates, too much brain overload. And now, what was I even looking up? Stupid Jeff Teague's DVP, really? On a 10-game slate, that's what I'm looking up for you guys? Hope you appreciate that judge's dedication. So they give up. It's not even that great. Like the eighth most Vando points to point guard, something like that. So Teague's in a good spot. Indiana is playing down in pace. So he's fine. I just think that there's better plays for cash games. They're safer plays. He was excellent though on Thursday, and they are on a back to back too. Dragic, same price as Teague, and I probably prefer Dragic just because not a back to back. And the Bulls have been really bad defensively at point guard all year. Now they're starting Grant, who's not great defensively. Also, this is a little revenge game. I mean, also not to mention Wade against Miami, Dragic against Wade, Dragic in Miami. I mean, Dragic against Chicago. So, you know, Dragic against Chicago doesn't really matter, but Dragic against Wade, that kind of matters. Like, quite honestly, I don't think those two like each other. They didn't seem to ever really mesh well in Miami. Dragic always wanted to play fast, and Wade was old and his knees hurt, so Wade would always want to play slow. But Dragic, especially if Whiteside is out, Dragic's usage rate's already close to like 29%. He's been really good, really consistent last week and a half, last 2 weeks. So, man, he's safe. I think he's safe for all formats on this slate. I really do, especially if Whiteside's out. And even if Whiteside's in, he's still a good play. Drew Holiday, 6.8K. I just wouldn't do it. I know he's been a little bit better lately, and he had the 60 Fando point net against Cleveland. I'm not going to do it in cash games on a 10-game slate. There's just no way. If you want to do it in the tournament, and if you want to throw a Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis lineup, because like 2% of the people playing DFS will do that, you can. Also, people are afraid to attack the Spurs. He's going to be super low owned, but I don't love the play. Dennis Schroeder, 6.7K. I love the Washington Atlanta game. John Wall is really good. He's sneaky good defensively. Washington defends the point guard system really well. Schroeder's had four straight games now in the mid to high 30s in Fanduel points. So he's good. He's fine. Am I still a little reluctant to in cash? Yeah, but tournaments and single and even like single entry tournaments, I think he's fine. Elfrid Payton, I probably won't do it in cash, but if Fournier is out, if DJ Augustine is out, I will use him in single entry and GPPs. I won't hesitate either, because he has 40, 50, 60 Fando point upside. Remember, he put up 57 against Utah. He just wasn't guys in the NBA. I mean, an 82 game season, they have games like he had last game. He just wasn't there. He looked kind of out of it. I don't know if he was tired. I don't know what the deal was, but he was just disengaged. He wasn't focused. And I expect that to change. Also, as good as Isaiah Thomas is offensively, Isaiah Thomas is really bad defensively. He's lazy defensively too. Some of that, I'm sure, just because he's exerting so much energy on the offensive end. So I think Payton's in a really good spot. Derrick Rose, I just don't play the criminal these days. If you want to, go ahead. Marcus Smart, he's okay for cash games. If Avery Bradley is out, he'll probably get you in the 20s. I mean, you know, he's fine. Just nothing sexy about him. TJ McConnell, I mean, I think I said in the last podcast, I'm not going to play him because I just can't envision him being in like the winning slam lineup. And then I think he was in the winning slam lineup. I think he put up 33 Fando points against Milwaukee, which is pretty impressive because Milwaukee's they play slow. He basically went up against his clone in Dellavedova, pretty similar players. And so McConnell's, I'm still not going to play him. I think that's too expensive. But if you want to do it, now he's playing way up in pace against Houston. You can do it. I think he's probably going to, he'll probably get scared of Patrick Beverley and piss in the corner. But, I mean, if you guys want to play McConnell on a 10-game slate, I was wrong on him on Wednesday, so go ahead. I probably will fade, though. Speaking of Hugh, that same game, Beverley, if you want to get crazy, play a lineup of at point guard are McConnell and Beverly. I mean, I can't imagine anyone else. I'm sure the pros, because you know the nerds sitting in their computers, sitting in their basements, letting their computer generate their random lineups. Who don't know anything about basketball, they might have it. But no one who knows basketball probably is going to put a McConnell Beverly lineup. If this is like a 4-game slate, I would probably do it for fun. On a 10-game slate, it's hard to imagine like playing those two as having the upside to take down a GPP. But they're both probably decent for cash game. They're probably going to end up in like the 20s. And be okay and not kill your lineup. Brogdon, 5.2K. Similar to Beverly and McConnell. He'll probably end up in the mid-20s. Me on a 10-game slate, remember, when you submit your lineups, ask yourself, why am I submitting this lineup? What's my goal? Is my goal to truly win a GPP? Is it to cash in a 50-50? Is it to cash in a GPP? Is it to impress a girl? What's your goal with each lineup? Mine's to win a GPP. And like those guys just don't make my lineups because I don't see the upside. Now, could I be wrong? Sure. It's a DFS. Crazy things happen. Other than that, then you got the under 5K. Then you got the bums. The only one Dellavedova, the price hasn't gone up. It's still 3.9K. Only 19 fandom points against Philly, but he had 27 fandom points the two games prior to that. If he's going to give me 20 to 30 fandom points at 3.9K, and that allows me to get John Wall, and then I can get, you know, DeMarcus Cousins or whoever it is, LeBron. Then it makes some sense, especially in like cash games. So I don't mind Dellavedova. And then as a sneaky ninja, Grant, I expect some of these younger Bulls to play well basically because Wade and Butler called them out. So I expect the Bulls to come hungry, especially some of the younger guys like Grant, who is starting, to put up a decent line. Shooting guard, James Harden, 12K. As you guys should know, on large slates, if you typically look at the winning lineups, it typically doesn't have the super expensive guys because you need a more balanced lineup. Playing these guys who are the Westbrooks and Harden on large slates, it really limits what you can do with the rest of your lineup. And unless these guys go for like 70, 80 FanDuel points, other guys at that position are going to smash value as well and be able to make up for whatever Harden or guy like Harden or Westbrook puts out there. So I don't think you need to play Harden. Do I still think he's totally fine for cash games? Yeah. Would I probably still do it in cash games? Right now I do have him in for cash games. For tournaments though, is it an easy fade to do? And using easy, I guess, in quotes. But I think, yeah, you can definitely fade him in cash games. Would it surprise me in any way, shape, or form if he's not in the winning GPP lineup on Friday? No, it wouldn't. Because again, he has to give... If he puts up 70 or 80, you know, then I think you're screwed. Then you're probably in trouble. But if he puts up 50 to 60, I think you can make up for that and still take down a GPP and win tons of money. With that said, he's playing Philly. There's no one to defend him. He has a floor of like 45 to 50 Fando points, and he could give you a ceiling of 70, 80. So, yeah, he's always a good play. Giannis... the Greek Freak, he's been in like a little slump for him. So his price has come down a little bit. He was over 11K. Now he's 10.3K. I like the spot for him though. I like the price because it's come down, you know, whereas Harden has like a floor of 50. His floor is maybe closer to 40. If you can't fit Harden, I mean, you can save 1.7K and play Giannis. So I think he's due for a bust-out game. Toronto does defend shooting guard really well, but what is Giannis? You can say he's point guard, shooting guard, he's every position. So I'm not sure who the hell Toronto's going to use to defend him. If it would even be DeMar, if DeMar DeRozan even plays, it could be Carroll, it could be Patrick Patterson if he plays. So I think Giannis is in a good spot. He's fine for any format you want. CJ McCollum, I'm just not going to play against Memphis. If you want to play him in a tournament, sure. D Wade. So D Wade was like 6.7K less than a week ago. Had a couple good games. Now he's 7.9K. That's too expensive. He's basically got to give me 40 Fando points. Could I see it happening? Yeah, I could because one, Wade's coming off a rest. And now two, the entire national media is going to be focused on this game. And Wade's no idiot. He knows he has to play a good game. Now, you know, he can't go hide in the corner in this game. So I'm, you know, I'm fascinated to see what the hell he does. But just in DFS terms, is he a good play on paper? No, he's not, especially in a slowdown game against Miami. If you want to do it in a tournament, I get it. You also have the revenge narrative for Wade going to get up against Miami. By the way, Miami's won five straight. They're playing better, too. So, you know, I think it'd be a fun little stack to do a little D-Wade, Deion Waiters as your two shooting guards. But can I recommend the play in cash games at that price? Probably not. I mean, if you're going to go at the, you know, in that price range, I probably would prefer Batum at 7.1K. You're saving $800. Batum is like 28 years younger than Wade. And I think Batum's just a tad safer going up against the Knicks that don't play any defense. And the pace of that game should be a little bit better as well. So Batum, fine for all formats. Bradley Beal. So Atlanta is bad defensively at shooting guard. They're a little bit better since they traded Korver. But Beal's fine. He, one-trick ponies. He is a Magic Mountain guy. So I don't recommend it for the cash. I think Batum's a little bit safer. But Beal's fine for single entry and GPPs. And you really... I mean, you can do a John Wall, Bradley Beal, have those two in your lineup. It's one way to differentiate. And both those guys, whilst the odds are not great that they'll both have big games, they could. And you hope that if Beal hits some threes, the assist goes to Wall. So, which can happen. I think there was one game this year I did that. And I think Wall had five assists to Beal, and Beal had over 30 actual points, and Wall had over, you know, so I think they both had over 40 fandom points, and it worked out. Deion Waiters, 6.2K. So Waiters, similar to Wade, he's been great lately, and so his price has come up. And now he's 6.2K. That's super expensive. I was reading some papers in Miami today. They basically were calling Waiters a poor man's Wade in terms of, like, you know, his shot-making abilities, and he takes bad shots, not super efficient, although he has been efficient in the last week. I don't love this spot for Waiters. He's due to have a bad game. He can't continue to shoot over 60%, which he's done for the last three games. He's been amazing, 40, 44, and 40 fando points. You know, well, if I have 10 lineups, he maybe makes two of them, maybe three. It's just hard to envision him going nuts again. Plus, and me personally, as a Wade, as you guys probably know, Wade is my favorite player in the NBA. And him and Jordan are probably my favorite players of all time. So I personally hope Wade shuts Waiters down completely. Tyreek Evans, 5.5K. If you want to do it in tournaments, but really the minutes just aren't there yet for him. Then you got the bums. You got Tony Allen, Tim Hardaway Jr., Garrett Temple, Dead Man Walking, Courtney Lee. Man, there's so many guys. Courtney Lee, he's been good lately, 33, 22, 25. He got benched one game, and then that seems to have woken something up. So if you want to play, you know, you can play a Courtney Lee lineup, all the men with no usage rate. They're all in play in this slate. They're all playing games. So you can play Courtney Lee, Otto Porters. You can play all those bums, MKGs, Norman Powell. I do like Norman Powell a lot. If DeMar's out, just lock in Norman Powell in cash games. Shumpert, 4.1K. You remember, Cleveland's playing Brooklyn. So – Shumpert's, I mean, he's given you over between 20 and 30 fando points like last week and a half. He's going to get 30 minutes. I think he's safe for all formats. I really do. Then he got Kilpatrick and guys like that. Ugh. All right, small forward. LeBron, 10.8K. He's always a good play. He always can do it. He doesn't seem to have the 60, 70, 80 fando point upside of like a Harden to Westbrook, but he gets close to 60 some nights. I mean, what is Brooklyn going to put Bogdanovich on him? I mean, so also LeBron's been whining. Cleveland's been bad. They need a win. So yeah, fine for all formats. Expensive though, 10.8K. Jimmy Butler, 9.8K. I don't like that price on him. And when Wade has it going, Butler will defer to Wade a lot. Now the last two games have been somewhat of an anomaly. It's been just, this is why Wade and Butler came out to the media. It's like been Wade and Butler have been like the only two playing. It's been like 2-on-5. So Butler and Wade both have been good. I don't want to play Butler a ton, but just because of the situation, I'm intrigued by this Miami-Chicago game. He is relatively safe. I do think he has a floor of like around 40. The problem is the ceiling I don't think is tremendous. But And actually, I think the floor is like 35. 35 to 40. You know what? The more I think about it, he's okay. I just – I mean, now he's so expensive. So if I can keep – you know, I'd probably just rather pay up and get LeBron. But 9.8K, yeah, I don't hate it. It is expensive for him, though. Carmelo, 8K. Magic Mountain, one-trick pony. He's going to get traded. The Knicks are trying to trade him. He's got a lot to prove now. I mean, this is a pretty fascinating slate. I will not touch him in cash games. But if you want to play him in tournaments, sure, go ahead. Paul George, 7.3K. Yeah, I mean, Paul George, quite honestly, small forward's not great on this 10-game slate. If you want to just have a nice, safe, you know, two nice, safe plays for small forward on Friday, just play Paul George because he's still too cheap. He should be 8K, and he's looked better lately. I know it is a back-to-back for Indiana, but I think at 7.3K, he's fine for any format. He's safe. You can just lock and load him in for cash games, and just play him and LeBron in cash games if you want. If you want to be safe at small forward, you can do that, or him and Jimmy Butler. I think both those guys are going to get you 40. It'll give you a nice 80 Fando points. If you play him and LeBron, maybe they get you 90 to close to 100 combined. Otto Porter, the man without a usage rate. I know a lot of you love playing him. He has been really good this year. I saw some people saying he was an all-star snub, which I giggled at. I mean, what would he have done in the all-star game? Just sat in the corner? A man with no usage rate in the all-star game. Granted, like Draymond Green doesn't have a big usage rate. He's in the all-star game. But so I just don't – I don't just never mix my lineup because you guys know I love three things. I love pace, usage, and the bailiff, and he doesn't have one of them. But, yeah, could he give you 30, 35, 40? Yeah, he could. And lately, other reason I've been fading him is because Markieff has been so great. So Markieff getting more shots, even less usage for Otto. Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder is just you can just play Paul George and Jay Crowder in cash, or Jay Crowder and LeBron. I mean, Jay Crowder is another real safe cash game play. The price has come up a little bit, but without Avery Bradley, I think it's fine. I think he's going to bumble and fumble. You guys know it. Say it with me: stumble, bumble, and fumble between 25 to 30 Fando points. Lord Covington, nice matchup here. Philly playing way up in pace against Houston. I wouldn't do it in cash, but he's been over 20 Fando points like five straight games now. If he's making, it's all about him making shots. If he doesn't make a shot, he'll probably give you. He could put up a dud, but he'll probably give you close to 20. If he's making a shot, he'll give you 30 to 40. And now Philly is going to get an extra 20 possessions. So he's in a really good. And Trevor Ariza is not a good. Trevor Ariza still gets a lot of steals, but he's not an elite defender anymore. So Covington's going to get some open looks, and he is really athletic too. So I think this is a really good tournament spot for Covington. If you want to play Otto Porter's twin brother, MKG, you can do it. 5.4K. Again, these guys don't make my lineups a ton. MKG has been making some of my lineups lately because Charlotte's been banged up, so he's been getting more minutes. Without Lamb, I don't know why this makes a big difference, but he's been doing a lot better without Lamb. So I prefer MKG probably to Otto because he's $800 cheaper. Aaron Gordon, he's fine. He can be a little frustrating to own. You know, he'll get you between 20 and 40. I mean, he does have upside. So probably tournaments are single entry only for me, though, on this slate. Trevor Ariza, I play my one mandatory Harden Ariza lineup. I hope Ariza makes 6-7 three-pointers. But not a huge fan of him. He has not been playing well lately. Kent Bazemore, the Bays. Some of you guys played the Bays a couple days ago, and he put up a 40 spot, and he won. He was in all the winning GPP lineups. He was super low owned. He's had two good games in a row, 41 and 33. He's also at Magic Mountain. He's a roller coaster. You don't know what the hell you're going to get. You could get 8 Fando points. You get 19 minutes, or you get 33 minutes and 40 Fando points. So God only knows. He's up against Otto Porter defense. Otto Porter has been better defensively this year. But Bazemore is a lunatic. He's a wild man. He's crazy. I don't know. I mean, dear God. So he's like the Rick Carlisle players. So GPPs only. Evan Turner, I mean, Evan Turner, I think it started a couple games. Mo Harkless is out. Not a horrible play. He's been getting like 40 and 40 freaking minutes against Boston, 33 against the Lakers. If he's going to get that many minutes, he's going to stumble, bumble, fumble into 20 FanDuel points. And at that price, that's probably fine. Not a great matchup against Memphis. Then you got bums, R.H. Jefferson, Bum Donovich, LeVert, Damari Carroll. If Kawhi Leonard out, if Kawhi Leonard is out, I do think Kyle Anderson is probably safe for all formats. He's still 3.9K. His price should come up. He should be like 4.5K. He'll play. Pop loves him, so he gets like over 30 minutes when Kawhi is out. And then Terrence Ross as well, he's a nice tournament guy if DeMar DeRozan's out. All right, power forward. The Tin Man himself. I don't know if he's been to Kansas. I tweeted all the media people for New Orleans. You know, I asked, how's Toto? I asked, how's the Lion? Where's the Wizard? Who's the Wizard? Can someone get this guy a heart? Anyone? Anyone? I mean, unbelievable. Well, I mean, also, like, what body part is left to be injured? You know, a Charlie horse. He's got the fingernail. He had the eyelash a couple years ago. I'm telling you, it's going to be hemorrhoids soon. That's what's got to be next. So 10.3K. The price is fantastic if he was healthy. The matchup is not against San Antonio. Upside obviously is tremendous, so it screams tournament play. He's an excellent tournament play. And if you play multiple lineups, you better play one lineup with Anthony Davis. Paul Millsap, 8.1K. You know what? He's fine. He's good. He's more of a cash game guy to me in terms of his ceiling. It doesn't seem to be tremendous. You know. So yeah, he's fine. I don't mind it. I just have nothing in. He made the All-Star team, so congrats to him too. But I wish the usage was higher. I think it should be. I think he's super talented. It's just, yeah, I just never get excited about click. Whenever I play Millsap, I don't get excited. Kevin Love, 7.9K. It's fine for all formats. The price is fine, and he gets an elite matchup here against Brooklyn. And if that game stays close, he'll go nuts. And if it doesn't stay close, I still think he's got a floor of like 30, 35 Fando points, which, you know, probably won't kill you on this slate. LaMarcus Aldridge. If Kawhi is out, I know it's hard playing Aldridge in cash games, but I think you can do it if Kawhi is out. The New Orleans is horrendous guarding power forwards. Anthony Davis is not a good defender. So you can play Aldridge either way, but probably tournaments only for me if Kawhi plays. Jabari Parker, man, he's 7.8K, super expensive for me for one-trick pony in Parker. So tournaments only for me for Parker. Markieff Morris has been unbelievable, 6.9K. That's expensive, so he's got to give me 35. That's hard to do because I think, like, that's around his – the problem for him is lately is, like, 35 has been, like, his floor and ceiling the last week and a half, the last 2 weeks. So you can do it. It's just me – I don't know. I just have a hard time that I just don't think he's going to end up being in a lot of my lineups. He has played great lately. Porzingis's price, it's just collapsing at such a historic rate. I mean, it's horrifying to see. I'm in shock. I'm looking at it and I can't believe it. 6.6K. Was he 9K early this year? He was definitely over 8. He was definitely like 8.5K at one point, I think. He was over 8K for most. He was between like 7.8 to 8K most of the year. So now we're getting him at a cheap, cheap discount. I mean, he was already like – he basically – you know, it was like after the holidays, they had a markdown sale for Porzingis. Then like still no one bought the clothing or whatever store he was at. Now they put him to an outlet mall and like still no one bought it. Then they shipped him back to the warehouse. He's at the warehouse right now. I mean, this is like bargain bin shopping right now for Porzingis. 6.6K, dirt cheap. Is he healthy though? Doesn't appear to be that way. The dude's not even playing like 24 minutes a game the last couple games. So with that said, you can't do it for cash. But why are they? If he's not healthy, why is he? Why is he playing? By the way, like what? That's stupid. If he's not healthy, just rest him. Let him get healthy. He's too young to risk the Knicks' future. But tournament play for me. He's gonna win someone a GPP really soon, and it's gonna be when he's at a discounted price. Serge Ibaka, I like the price, 6K. It's cheap. You can attack Boston bigs, and Brad Stevens doesn't know who to play at power forward for Boston lately. So Ibaka's not a cash game guy, but I think tournaments is okay. He can give you like 30, 35, even close to 40 maybe. Ilyasova, 6K. The problem is he's probably going to end up close to 30 Fando points. So if that's enough for you, that's fine. Nerlens Noel has been playing super well for them the last couple of games. So I thought he'd get more minutes with Okafor and Embiid out, but he hasn't. So he's been good. He would be great if he got the extra minutes because he's a fantasy point per minute monster. But also keep in mind, they are playing Houston, so are playing up in pace. He will get extra possessions. So I think as a tournament guy, you can do it. Zach Randolph, you know, I heard there was a rumor you could attack Portland bigs before Julius Randle decided to, like, you know, take a crap against Portland every time he plays Portland. Zeebo's been good lately. So you can play Zeebo against Portland. I don't mind it. Not a huge upside, but pretty safe. Terrence Jones, I don't know. I mean, like, Elvin Gentry hates Terrence Jones almost as much as Rick Carlisle hates Dwight Powell. So if Anthony Davis plays, TJ is just too expensive for me right now. David Lee, 5.7K. Man, his price skyrocketed up. That's expensive now. I don't want to pay 5.7K for David Lee. Maybe in tournaments. James Johnson. So the prices come way down. I mean, if Whiteside's out, maybe – I'm not exactly sure what the hell's been going on with James Johnson. 19 minutes against Brooklyn, that was the scariest thing, and I don't know why that was. I don't remember if – did he get hurt? I don't think so. I mean, maybe I'm missing something. He cost me a ton of money a couple nights ago. So I'll need to do some more research and figure out what the hell's going on with him. But the price has come down, so I like that. Not a cash game player right now, but if you want to do it in tournaments, it's okay as long as he's going to get minutes. He was getting 30 minutes a night. It was a lock and load before, you know, that Brooklyn game. Thaddeus Young, just to, you know, if you have exactly 5.6K left, you know, I would say play Thaddeus Young in cash and play James Johnson in GPPs. Aminu. Yeah, no thank you for me. I mean, if you want, just for fun, you can play a lineup of Aminu, Otto Porter, MKG, Courtney Lee, TJ McConnell, Patrick Beverley. Play all the guys with no usage rates and see what happens. I mean, maybe I'll do that in like a $1 GPP just for the fun of it. See if they can, like, somehow bumble into like 200 Fanduel points total for that lineup. I probably have a leftover savings, though, of like $20,000 on my salary cap. Then you got, let's see, Marvin Williams, whatever. I mean, if the Charlotte guys are still banged up and not playing, he's actually not a bad play. I actually don't mind him for all formats. 28 and 35 Fanduel points. And he's like, I had him at like 2% owned a couple days ago. Trevor Booker, tournaments only. Ryan Anderson, 4.7K. He was 6K a couple weeks ago. He got 36 minutes last game and gave you 27 Fanduel points. That's too cheap for him. He's an elite tournament play at that price. Because, you know, team up with Harden and put him in a tournament, those two together. Taj Gibson, all these Bulls guys, I don't know what to do with. I mean, they've been so bad. I expect all of them to come. I really do expect all the Bulls to come with like extra motivation. And Gibson and Lopez, all those bums to have decent nights. But obviously, you don't want to play five of Bulls in your lineup. I can't recommend Gibson in good faith. Especially when the same price, you got Nerlens Noel, who's been a monster. No Embiid, probably no Okafor again. Just lock and load. 4.6K. Now he gets Houston, an elite matchup, playing way up in pace against Ryan Anderson defense. Man, you could play a Nerlens Noel, Ryan Anderson as your two power forwards. You could save a power forward. It would allow you to spend up at all the other positions. And quite honestly, that's they both still have tremendous upside. Then you got Harrell, you got Kaminsky and Amir Johnson, French Fries. Mirotić, another guy for the Bulls, who's That's actually Wade and Butler. I think I heard they're most frustrated with Mirotić. I forgot who the other guy was. If it was MCW, I can't remember. But Mirotić was definitely the main guy they were upset with. All right, center. Dear God, it's 5:10 in the morning. All right, let's go fast. You got Cousins, 5.7. Cousins, 10.7K. Didn't they just play Indiana? I feel like they just did. Yeah, it was like last week. So Cousins against Turner. I love watching both play, especially Turner. Cousins put up 54 Fanduel points, 53 against Turner. And he's been – last three, he's been like 60 – he had two games in the 60s, one in the 50s. He's been tremendous lately. He's just playing – I think I mentioned on the podcast, I watched Sacramento. I think they played the Bulls. And Cousins, that was the best I've seen him play almost ever. He was amazing on both ends of the court. So, yeah, if you have the money and you can fit him in, he's fine. Marc Gasol, coming off maybe the best game of his career. He had 57 Fanduel points, 42 actual points. I like to fade guys coming off monster nights like that because they're typically, because of recency bias, they'll be high owned. The caveat here is they get Portland. What does Portland not defend? Well, anywhere. They don't defend any position, quite honestly. But especially power forwards and centers. I mean, centers, they give up, the fourth most Fanduel points to centers. So Gasol is in a really good spot here. I think he's fine for any format you want. Al Horford. I actually played a decent amount of Horford a couple nights ago just because he was like 7.3K. Now he's 7.6K. That's still a really fair price. And you know, he's safe. He's going to get you a floor of 30 with a ceiling of like probably 45. So, and now he gets like Vucevic defense, who's one of the worst defensive centers in the league. So I think Horford's fine. Brook Lopez, he's tournaments for me only. Dwight Howard, 7.1K. I've been playing some Dwight lately too because he's really cheap. 7.1K, it's just he's a nice safe play. He's at 36, 37, 35 last three games. He's still, you know, he's not as athletic as he used to be, but he's still good defensively, and he gets rebounds and blocks, and he'll stumble, bumble, and fumble into like 15 actual points. So just a nice safe cash game play. Does he have the upside to win a tournament? I'm not sure. But Gortat also has looked awful lately, so I don't mind it. Plumdog, 6.9K against Marc Gasol. I will gladly fade on this slate. Vucevic, 6.6K. A nice little tournament play against Boston. He's not been good lately. The minutes have not been great lately. You can attack Boston bigs, though, so tournaments only. Miles Turner, 6.4K. I love watching Turner. He's still a little too inconsistent for me, so he's a tournament only. Last time he played Cousins, he played 34 minutes, so that was good. Stayed out of foul trouble. Only had 23 Fanduel points. So not the best matchup in the world, but you can play him in tournaments. Then you got Monroe, tournaments only. You got my boy Valanciunas. He's in a good spot against Milwaukee, but the minutes are always an issue with him. Even without DeMar DeRozan, I thought Lowry would get him the ball more. That did not work out that well. You know, I think if you play him, he's not going to kill your lineup. But it's hard to I can't recommend him for cash games, that's for sure. Then you got Gortat. I don't like attacking Dwight Howard defensively. So, and Gortat has no ceiling. He's being John Malkovich these days. So I don't love that play. You can do it. I mean, he'll be low owned. So you could do like a John Wall Gortat lineup. Hope Wall gets lots of assists to Gortat. Then you got Capella. I was on the Capella train a couple nights ago. Had him at like 6% owned, I think. He gave me 25 Fanduel points. The problem was, other guys went nuts at center, like Marc Gasol, and he only played 20 minutes, even though he started. So he's not getting a ton of minutes still, and center's a pretty loaded position on this slate. So probably tournaments only. Then you got Hernan Gomez, who I do like for the Knicks, 4.7K. They're basically going to give him all the backup minutes to Noah, and some nights he's going to play more minutes than Noah because Noah is like 75 years old and in basketball years. So fine. Quite honestly, I think you probably don't want to do it in cash yet, but Charlotte bigs are horrendous defensively, so I'm fine with him. I think he was like 1% owned last time out. He'll probably be a little bit higher owned now, but if you want to punt center, he's fine. Then you got Tristan Thompson, you got Noah, you got Robin Lopez, you got Bismack and Spencer Hawes. You got hashtag Noghead for Toronto, Naguera. So, I mean, you can punt with a lot. Kelly Olynyk. There's lots of guys down there. Dead man walking. You know, if you really want to punt, I mean, my philosophy is just on a 10-game slate, I just don't think you need to do it. And I think the opportunity cost is too great to do on a 10-game slate because center, I mean, you got some really good centers going at it. And if, you know, if guys like Cousins or Gasol or even Horford, Lopez, Howard, you know, if those guys put up big numbers and then you played a dead man walking, you'll probably be in some trouble. All right, that's it. That's the slate. Got through all 10 games. It's 5:15 in the morning. Got to get to bed. Dear God, I don't know how long I can keep doing this podcast. All right. So as you know, the best of the best chambers, you will get if you made it, congratulations. You will receive an invitation from the judge. If you didn't, I still will have chambers for the rest of us. So hopefully you will one day qualify for the best of the best chambers. Also, I'll be updating the power rankings for FanDuel. I will be unleashing the initial DraftKings power rankings. It probably will be late evening or late afternoon, early evening. Other than that, that's it. Hope you made some money Thursday. Hope you achieve glory on Friday. Congrats, and welcome to the weekend. All right. For me and the bailiff, court is adjourned.